Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Tamid is daf Chav Vav. We start with the Mishnah. I started the Mishnah yesterday, but let's start the Mishnah again. Let's talk a little more systematically about the upcoming Masechta. Upcoming two Masechtas. Tamid and Midos is what we have left. And they really are a tandem, meaning, in fact, they're such a tandem that the Mishnah, which we started yesterday, which I'm going to reread today, Bishlosh Mekomos, is the same opening Mishnah of Midos. In fact, both Masechtas, Tamid and Midos, talk about the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the difference between them? So I mentioned this yesterday, but I'm going to just repeat again. So the difference is function versus structure. Meaning, Masechtas Tamid just is more interested in the function of the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, how a day in the life in the Beis HaMikdash. What was it like? Just a regular day in the Beis HaMikdash. Now keep this in mind. It's historically, it's just good to understand that the Masechta was written after the Churban. It was written after the destruction. So so I can only imagine that at this point in time now, or your generation, two generations, maybe even as much as three generations after the Churban of the Mikdash, so now they are looking back and they really need to go over, because part of the reason why the Torah Shabbat Peh was committed to writing is that they needed to go over what exactly was the sequence of events in the Beis HaMikdash. Help us prepare for the third Beis HaMikdash. Midos, as the name indicates itself, Midos is measurements, meaning we're actually going to get an architectural tour of the Beis HaMikdash. It takes us through the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So Midos is much more interested in structure, and Tamid, which we're doing right now, is much more interested in function. Okay, and the Masechta Tamid is very simple. It starts at the beginning of the day and it closes at the end of the day. It's a very nice progression from the beginning to the end of any given day in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so a day starts with a night, and so we start with the night. And the Mishnah told us that at nighttime there was Shemur, there was watching going on, there was guarding going on. We guarded the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we guard the Beis HaMikdash? So there is a Rashi on Chumash. We're going to quote this pasuk later on. So Rashi on Chumash, I'm in Bamidbar, and we're in the third perek of Bamidbar. Now note the following. Obviously the Torah of here is not talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash has not yet been built. We're talking about the Mishkan. Okay, but it's the same basic idea. The Mishkan was a traveling Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so on sukkahs you have traveling sukkahs. In the desert, they had traveling Beis HaMikdash. That was the Mishkan. So the pasuk says, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, Hakrev es matel leviv, amata osul vnei Aaron, akon v'sharsu aso, v'shamru es mishmarto, v'smishmar es kol ha'idol lefnei olam moed, la'avod es avodos ha'mishkan." So you have to do some sort of shmira, some sort of guarding. V'shamru is called klei olam moed, and you have to guard the utensils of the olam moed, v'smishmar es bnei Yisrael, la'avod es avodas ha'mishkan. Okay? Good. So there's this an idea of Shmira. And if you took a look at Rashi, Rashi writes, "Umahu Sherus," what is the service mentioned over here? Vishamrus Mishmar Tot to guard. Lefisha Shmiras Hamikdash Alav Shelo Yikrav Zar. So if you look at Rashi and Chumash, Rashi says, what's the whole purpose of Shmira? Because we don't want non-Kohanim to enter into the Mishkan. Okay. So it's basically, according to Rashi, the whole point of Shmira, the whole purpose of Shmira is as to set up a guard so that nobody would come in. Okay. The commentary that we're going to focus most on throughout this Masechta is going to be the Rush. Right? On the side of the Gemara, you have a long Perush. It's not Rashi. Okay? It's someone writing in a Rashi style. Although, I could question really if it's a Rashi style considering of how much he wrote. And Rashi was much more concise in his language. So, whoever it is, there's a Perush on the side of the Gemara. And there is a Ravid. A Ravid is also on the side of the Gemara as well. So the classic Rishonim that we're familiar with is the Rush and the Ravid. Right? Rush is kind of Ashkenaz. Semi-Ashkenaz.
Sparty one.
Right, correct. He really transformed. Right? His the Rush had to leave.
He had an aliyah.
That's correct. Right, on Lamed Alba Omer, it's a good time to mention. The Rush had to run out of France. He was chased out because of the Crusades, so they moved on to Spain, and he became the head of a Sephardic community. There was communication between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim, but he really connected the two. So that was the Rush, and the Ravid, of course, is Sephardic, super Sephardic Rishon. So anyway, so those are your classic commentaries on the On the Masechta, for the most part, we're going to look at the Rush in terms of helping us navigate through the Masechta. Okay? Anyway, if you take a look at the Rush inside, the Rush writes that what was the purpose of Shemur? The purpose of Shemur is covered. Meaning you have a base of Mikdash, and the base of Mikdash obviously is an extraordinarily special place. Well, how do you indicate that it's a special place? By posting guards. And once you post guards, so now people will understand, oh, if there are guards outside, it must be a very special place. So in other words, the Rush says it's a function of kavod. In other words, we've got to honor the Beis HaMikdash, and part of that honoring is to put guards out in front. In fact, if you take a look at the first Rush on the Mishnah, right, the Rush is found in my Gemara, the Rush is found, it's kind of an awkward location. It's to the right, it's on the right side of the page. Right, it always will be found on the outside of the page, and it's like it opens up with Perish Rush. Peshoshim Mekametz Kohanim Shomim Beis Hamikdash. Atzofa Prakim Perish Peshoshim Mekametz Kohanim Shomim Shimur Zeh Eino Mishum Chishuv Geneva. The Rush writes, we're not worried that people are going to come in and steal. That's not our concern. The Ein Anias B'Makom Hashiras, because the Beis Hamikdash is what's called the Makom Hashiras, meaning it's a wealthy place. Obviously spiritually. But even from a financial standpoint, it's a wealthy place. Elixeris Akasavhu. So the Rush says it's Xeris Akasav, meaning that you put guards out in the front simply because the Torah tells you to do so. Dirsi Visharmu Vigam Kavod Hamikdash. Shalo Yasichu Da'atami Menu. And it's also covered. Covered Hamikdash so that people will always have focused on the sanctity and the specialty of the Beis Hamikdash. People won't forget about it neither during the day nor neither at night as well. Okay, so that is the Rush. The Rush says it's an aspect of kavod. In the same Rush that I just read, what also comes out from the Rush, the shmir was done both during the day and during the night. Meaning, many Rishonim say, and you'll see as we go through the Gemaras, we're about to start the Gemara, that Shmir was only done at night. In fact, from the Gemara, it sounds like from the Gemara that Shmir was a function of night. Now, if you learn Rashi and Chumash, that makes sense, because we're worried about people going in, right? At night, you want to put guards up. But the Rush writes very clearly that Shmir was done both during the day and during the night as well. Okay, so, could be that the reasons behind the Shmir could also affect whether or not you hold that it's when Shmir is actually performed. Okay. We start with the Mishnah. We're on. Now, I'm just going to read again. B'shoshim Mekametz Kohanim Shomrim. Now, Kohanim would guard in three locations. Three separate locations. Now, I got the picture behind me. I'm going to... I'm going to actually take it down because we're going to need it a lot. In Tamid, we'll need it, but not as much. Okay, now, yeah... How are we doing in terms of east versus west? We're doing pretty bad. Okay, I told you one of the it's upside down. Okay, the picture is upside down. What can I tell you? I don't know. I don't know who was in charge of this at the time. But anyway, east is to the left and west is to the right, and I know that's confusing. And that of course means north is down and nice and south is up. That's the Rambam's picture.
This is the Rambam picture?
Yeah. So that's
definitely not upside down.
There are three pages of notebook that we have from the Rambam. So they publish it in the back of the Gemara. So you'll see the Rambam's picture. This is the Beis Hamikdash Sabai Sheni drawn pretty much to scale. And right now, the three areas we want to note is the three areas that were guarded by the Kohanim. Now, as we'll learn later on, 21 stations for the Levium. Okay, so that's a. Anyone still remember math? That's a 3-to-1 ratio between... No, not 3-to-1, 7-to-1. Okay, I obviously haven't done math. Okay, it's a 7-to-1 ratio. Wow, 7-to-1. Of Kohanim to Levim to Kohanim. So, but the Kohanim would be guarding in three places. The three places that would be guarding are, as the Gemishna is about to say, the Beis Avtinus, the Beis Anitzos, and Beis Amokad. Okay. Now again, you have to understand that the bottom is the north. Okay, so just in your head, just... Do a little inversion. So the Beis Hamokad is directly above me. It's that white chamber directly above me. The Beis Hanitzos is to its right. So now that you flipped it, it's more east. I'll explain that significant. I'll explain that in just a moment. And the Beis Avtinos. Right? All the way up, it's like just to the south of the ramp.
south.
To the Mizbeach. It's to the south. So it's one station in the south and two stations in the north. Okay, just quickly, I'm just going to do this quickly. The Beis HaMitzvot, that is the most eastern entrance into the Beis HaMikdash. By the way, you'll note there are four entrances on the north side, four entrances on the south side. There are two entrances on the west, and there are going to be three entrances on the east. Anyone who's been counting with me? So that's a total of 13 entrances into the Azara, into the temple courtyard. Again, when we go to Midos, I'll do this in more detail. For the time being, though, just know, the Beis HaMikdash is the most eastern entrance.
Southeast.
I'm sorry. The
most south, most west.
Most western entrance, sorry, right. you're correct. So the base, right, sorry, it's I didn't flip. Okay, it's the most, it's the Beis HaMikdash because it was opened up like a pavilion, and so when the sun shone, it basically illuminated the entire Beis HaMikdash, the entire building. It was like a pavilion. And so therefore, the word Netz means spark.
Right.
Netz HaChama, sparks of the sun. So that's why it's called the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, we're going to be talking a lot about the Beis HaMikdash. Right, the Beis HaMikdash is right over there. It had a dome on top. Okay, I know we're going to, Ben Harabi, I mean, we're going to see the Beis HaMikdash and there's going to be a dome over there. We're going to think to ourselves, like, what just happened? So there was a dome on one of our buildings, one of our entrances in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what's called the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash, why is it called the Beis HaMikdash? Mokad, Tukad, Eish, means a fire. There was a fire burning in the Beis HaMikdash all the time. Why? So the Rosh says it's very simple. Because Kohanim had to walk barefoot in the Beis HaMikdash. One of the requirements of the Kohen is that they had to have physical contact between their feet and the ground. And you can imagine now, the months of December and January, very cold floor, stone floor in the Beis HaMikdash. So where would they go to warm up? They would go to the Beis HaMikdash. And they run to the Beis HaMikdash. And so that's why it was called the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was very interesting. You can almost... little height adjustment. You can almost draw a line. In fact, he does over here. You can almost draw a line right through the center of the Beis HaMikdash. Half of the Beis HaMikdash was in the Azara. Half of the Beis HaMikdash was outside the Azara. Purpose of that would be that... I don't know about the purpose, but the... the Kohanim then, if necessary, would be able to walk to the other side of the Beis HaMikdash, the non-Kodesh side of the Beis HaMikdash. And actually, we're going to talk over the course of today why that was important and what purpose did that serve. Additional, in the Beis HaMikdash, that's where they would sleep. Kohanim would sleep in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, sleep in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, in the Azara itself, remember, and we're going to talk about this also, you can't even sit down in the Azara. You're not allowed to sit. Only if you're from Beis David. Do you have, right, Machlus Beis David, do you have an opportunity to sit in the Azara? Kohanim are not allowed to sit in the Azara. So what are we talking about? Sleeping? So we're talking about the non-Kodesh section of the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to be learning this morning how there were actually protrusions of stone coming out of the wall, almost like barracks, and what the Kohanim would do is they would sleep on the stones. Stones aren't comfortable. The Gemara is going to make that point later on this morning. It wasn't comfortable sleeping accommodations for the Kohen, and that was by design. And the last place that we're just going to look at is on the top, which is the south, is the Beis Aftinos. Beis Aftinos is where they prepare the Ketores, right? Am I saying it correctly? Yeah. It's where they prepare the Ketores, and so that was the third station of the Kohanim. So three stations of Kohanim, Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash, and Beis Aftinos. Let's start the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "B'shosh mekamos kohanim shomer v'beis hamikdash, beis avtinos, beis anitzos, beis hamokad, beis avtinos v'beis anitzos have aliyos." Now, of these places, beis avtinos and beis anitzos had second floors. In fact, the Gemara is going to ask, but the Gemara is going to answer that it was actually two-story buildings, the beis anitzos and the beis avtinos. They were two-story buildings, and haruvim shomim sham, and the young kohanim would do shmira over there. Now, young Kohanim, there's an interesting rush over here. I'll read it. Haruvim, the rush writes, it's three lines down, three as the lines get wide. Yeladim, so Ruvim means children. Now, we're talking about Shmir, we're talking about guarding. So the idea that we're talking now about children doing the guarding is interesting. The Yeladim, Kedematargin, Yalim, Ravya. In other words, whenever you look at Targum and you see the word Yelad in Aramaic, it's translated into Ravya. Right, similar to the word peru uruvu. Right. So Ravya means children. Shelo higia la avoda. So they're not yet at the age of doing the avoda. Now, how old do you have to be in order to do the avoda?
30.
Right, 30 years of age. Right, 25, you start your...
These were 29
years old. Levium, no? The Levium 5 years in Kohanim? Not the same? Okay. The Haim Zrizim la'alos ha'aliyos l'fichach shomrim sham. Okay, and... young because they had to climb upstairs. Right. So, and there was reason, and they had a lot of energy, and a lot of enthusiasm, so therefore, we put the young Kohanim up on the second floor stations. That is by the, that's by the base of Tinus and the base of Nitzotz. Now, base Amokad, now here the Mishnah is going to speak a little bit about the base Amokad, meaning, look, we're not super interested in describing the base of Mikdash right now, we're in Tamid, we're not in Midos. But a little description of the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMokad Kippa, so first of all, I had a kippa on top, right? Similar to the one on my head, but we're talking now about the roof of the Beis HaMokad. It was a dome. Ubayis HaGadol HaYamukaf Rovdim Shel Evan. Now, there were layers of stones. I described this a couple moments ago. Interior to the Beis HaMokad, there were these like ledges, these like stone ledges that came out of the wall. And they basically look like barracks, like bunk beds, you know, coming out of the wall. But they weren't made out of wood, they were actually made out of stone. Ziknei Beis Av Yishenim Sham. So who would sleep there? It was Ziknei Beis Av, it was the elders of the Beis Av. Meaning, remember we talked about the Taranut, they would actually have a rotation in terms of doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash. So there were 24 families amongst the Kohanim. Each one would be serving a week. And then there would be what's called each mishmar is then further divided to what's called the base av, where they would break up the six bate av in each family, and then they would work one day of that week. And then on Shabbos, they would all come back and it'd be like a reunion. I mean, not such a reunion. I mean, they've been together for a week. The ziknei base av, the elders of the base av, would be sleeping on these ledges. What about all the other kohanim? They get the floor. Good. Umiftechos ha'azara biyadam, and they would have the keys of the azara. Pirchei kahuna ish kasaso ba'aretz. And what the young kohanim would do, meaning not the bate av, not the elders, but you know the rest of the kohanim. So they would sleep on the ground. Lo hayu yishenim bevik dekodesh. Now they would not sleep wearing their big dekodesh. Allah. But what they would do is they would take off their big day kodesh, the big day kahuna. They're not allowed to sleep in it. You can only do avoda in it. Right? Using it for mundane activity would be a form of me'ila. So what they would do is they would fold it up and they would put it under their head. Now, yeah. So in other words, basically it sounds like they're using it as a pillow. Tomorrow's daf. I think we discuss. Huh? Right, usage of shanis as well. All right, so tomorrow's daf, we're going to talk about the folding up of their clothing and putting under the head as a pillow. Umis kastim biksus atzman, and as far as the blanket is concerned, bring your own blanket. BYOB. Okay, they would not, but they would they have to use their own for the blankets. Now ira keri leechad mehem. Now. As long as we're talking about now, the Kohanim at night. So we've so far established that there is Shmira for the Kohanim in three locations. We've also established where basically all the Kohanim are going to be sleeping, and that's in the Beis HaMokad. The Rosh, the Zakenim, the elders would get kind of like beds. Not super comfortable beds, stone. And the non-Zakenim, right, the younger Kohanim, would be sleeping on the floor in the Beis HaMokad. And all this obviously is on the north side of the Beis HaMokad. Right. Meaning on the non-Azara side of the Beis HaMokad. Okay, when I do take that picture down, I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to just, I don't care, we're reading upside down. It doesn't bother me. Right. Okay, anyway. So, and good. Now, Ira Keri, now the Mishnah is going to take a little detour. What if one of the Kohanim becomes a Baal Keri? Right, he has seminal emission, and now obviously he's Tameh, so now what? So let's just make sure that we all know. If you're a Balkari, so you can't go into the Azara. You can't go into the into the temple courtyard, right? You're banned, prohibited from going to the temple courtyard. There are three areas, a circle within a circle within a circle. I don't actually mean a physical circle, but I mean three areas of Kedusha. The exterior area is Yerushalayim. Interior of that is the Har HaBayis. And interior to that is the Azara. So if you're Tamei Meis, so the only place you cannot go is the Azara. Right? That's the Machane Shechina. So if you're a Balkari, so you can't go to the Azara, and as we'll talk in just a moment, you can't even be in Har HaBayis as well. Okay. So now, if you are a Balkari, so what do you do? Ira Keri, Le'echad Mehem, Yosef Aholech Lo, B'Mesiba Ha'olechis Lo Tacha Sabira. So now, this is going to sound great. It's going to sound a little spooky, but there were underground caves. And these underground caves, the entrance to it was in the Beis HaMokad, and basically there was now a door that went down, apparently steps. You want to visualize them as spiraling steps. I'm not particularly sure. But they went down, and now you're underneath, you're subterranean of the Beis HaMikdash.
That's fine to walk on.
And it seems from this Mishnah that the only area of Kedusha is going to be the ground level. But once you're now in the basement, so to say, of the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore you're not in an area of Kedusha. The area of Kedusha only seems to be the ground area, the surface area. So now we're on the top now, Chavav Amud Aleph, and we're now going to describe the Kohen Toveling in the Mikvah. So Tachas Abir V'Neres Dokos Mikana Mekan. Now, these are tunnels that he's going through. There were torches that lit up the tunnel so that he can actually see where he's going. Achu Magila Beis Atila, now there was a Mikvah. So this is a subterranean Mikvah somewhere underneath the Beis HaMikdash. Umidura Haisa Sham. Now there was a torch over there, not a torch, but more like a bonfire. Okay, like not that different than one we saw a couple nights ago. Well, Madura Haisasham, and the Rosh writes the purpose of that Madura, much like in the Beis HaMokad itself, is to keep you warm. So this Madura was to keep you warm because you're now about to go into a mikvah, and I'm betting that it was cold.
Have you been to Irish mikvah?
I'm betting it was cold. Now, in my lifetime, right, whenever going to the bathroom, so you called it the kisei and you called it the throne, the royal chair, and other terms that you referred to to the royal seat. And I think to myself, that's a joke, and nobody, you're not going to see that anywhere. And meanwhile, you're seeing it in a Mishnah in Tamid. Can you imagine? The Mishnah in Tamid calls the Kisei Shel Kavod, the royal throne. Now, Zehaya Kvodo. Now, what was so special about it? So it's interesting. The Mishnah says, Matzah Na'ul Yodesh Yesham. You know what's so exciting about it? It was private. Right. It had I know to us with indoor plumbing, it's like, what's the big deal? You got to understand, for most of our history, I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about the entire world, indoor plumbing.
This was an in-house.
Correct. This is amazing. So there was an actual door. And if the door was locked, somebody was in there. And that's exciting. That was exciting. Shein sham adam pasuach. And if it was open, yadu shein sham adam, so you know that nobody was there. Okay, now, interesting. The Rush writes the following. There was a bathroom over there. Okay? Is that so significant? And the Mishnah spends a line, two lines of the Mishnah, dedicated to how it's important to be private while going to the bathroom. That's also exciting. But, in other words, why is the Mishnah talking about the bathroom in the Beis HaTzvila? Meaning it's, what's the significance? So the Rush says it has halachic significance. And the Rush writes, what's so halachically significant about it? He says you have to go to the bathroom prior to going to the mikvah. Right? In other words, from a halachic consideration. Not just it's nice that there's a bathroom over there, thank you very much. Right? Again, these are Mishnayos over here. It's not... We're not, this is not a historical, and if you look to the right, you're going to see this. And in other words, it's not, we're not taking a tour of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rush says, what's halachic significance? Let's see if I can find it.
Second
Yeah, based on kisei shel kavod. Yeah. Hayasham did not in Maseches Mikvaos. Oh, so he quotes the Mishnah in Mikvaos. Baal keri shetava v'lo itil mayim. So if you, let's say you have a baal keri, right? So a man who had a seminal mission. And he toveled in the, in other words, and after his baal keri, he then toveled in the mikvah. And then after coming up from the mikvah, he then is mashed in mayim, he urinates, he's tummy.
But even if the, under the
he's tummy. V'lo hito mayim l'cheshayito mayim, tummy. There's going to be a little bit of residual baal keri at the tip. And so therefore when he urinates, now while it's internal to his body, so that's not going to affect him. Because that's what's called tamablua. But once he urinates and he forces it out, so as it's leaving now, it will make contact with him. We go over this idea so many times in the world of Tum and Tahara, is that as its final goodbye present, so it touches him, and it make the keri itself is an avatuma. So now as the keri comes out and touches him, so it'll make him tame. So what was the point of toveling in the mikvah? I guess in the interim you'll be fine, but the next time you go to the bathroom you're going to be tame. So therefore, halachically, it's required that you go to the bathroom prior to toveling in the mikvah. Just give me a moment. Olakach asu sham beis kisei lahatomayim kodem tefila. And that's why specifically there was a bathroom in the right before you tovel in the mikvah, so that you get rid of your keri. So now when you tovel in the mikvah, you'll be tahor totally, legamri. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Back to the description. Yar v'tav alam v'nistapeg. So he goes into the mikvah, he comes up, and he dries himself off. Right, in Yuma. When every time the Kohen Gadol tovels in the mikvah, this language of, he comes up and he dries himself off. V'nischamim keneged ha-medura. And he heats himself up to the medura. Right? Obviously, he's subterranean. It's cold. The water's cold. So that medura becomes extraordinarily important. So now he would go up and he would sit with his echava koanim. He would sit with his brothers until the gates were open. And once the gates open, so now he just walks out very casually. For him to go out alone would be embarrassing because it then would be clear to all. Why is that Cohen leaving the Beis HaMikdash so early in the morning? What's happening over there?
But isn't he tummy until the evening?
Oh, there, right. Mm-hmm. That's
what I said. Yeah, he's a tefillion.
Right.
He is a tefillion. And what's your question?
He can't do anything anyway. Yeah.
He can't do anything anyway. I thought you were going to ask me what the Rosh is going to discuss, which is, how can he sit in the Beis HaMokad?
Right.
Okay, the Rosh is going to ask that question. We're going to see that we're going to do that Rosh together. So Misha Haya wrote that Litchot. I'm sorry. So Yosef Ha'olechlo. And so this coin will now exit. Okay. Now, join me now for the next Rosh. Because the Rosh over here is going to be bothered by a very basic question. Bavi Yashav. A very basic question. The Rosh is going to be bothered by, well, I understand if he's a Baal Keri, even if he told from the mikvah, he's now what's categorically called a Tvul Yom, which means that he still has residual tum and he has to wait till nightfall. Now, it's already the middle of the night, towards the end now of the night, so that means that he has to wait now till the sun rises until the sun sets again. So right now, he's in the stage of Tvul Yom. So what's he doing? Just sitting around. So the Rosh writes, first wide line of the page, Belishkas Beis HaMokav Alfa Pishin Tvul Yom Nechnas Lemachane Levia. Now a Tvul Yom cannot be a Machane Levia. So that means, Aaron, you're right, I heard what you were asking, but that means then that the entire Beis HaMokav is off limits to him. Because the Machane Levia encompasses all Harabayas.
Right.
Meaning, it's that area and the entire area around that area. Right? That, right, the Beis HaMikdash is just one little rectangle in the larger Harabayas. Right. And the Harabayas Machan Leviyah. The Tvul Yom can't be a Machan Leviyah. Kedanam Beper Kama Demesechus Kalim. And all you need to do is, again, just go through Kalim. I should listen to myself. Hachel mikodesh mimenu, ezras nashem mikudeshes mimenu, shein tvul yom nechnas hasham. The Mishnah in Kalim says that a tvul yom cannot be in ezras nashem. Now, if you look behind me, ezras nashem, which behind me is to the left, which of course means to the right. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. It means it's right. It's to the east of the Azara. Ezras Nashim. It's not the Azara. It's called Ezras Nashim because typically that's where the women would go up to, and they wouldn't go past that area. But it's Ezras Nashim doesn't mean it's an area exclusive to women. It just simply means it's an area outside the Azara, which also happens to be a courtyard, but it's not the Azara. It doesn't have the status of Azara. What status does it have? Har HaBayis. It has the status of Har HaBayis. And the Mishnah in Kalim says that a Tful Yom cannot be in that area. So the question is a very simple question. It's a very good question. So what's this Kohen now just sitting around after having Tovel in the Mikvah? He's still a Tful Yom. What's he doing? Just sitting around in the Beis HaMokad until the gates are actually opened. Good. So to this, he now is going to go over two basic answers amongst the Rishonim. Now, this is true by Tful Yom of a Sheretz, and this is certainly going to be true by Tful Yom of a Balkeri, who's even a higher degree Tumah to begin with. Now, you're only one step, literally one step removed from being in the Azara. So, again, it's just strengthening his question. How can the Kohen actually be sitting there? So, answer number one, there's going to be two answers over here in this rush. Answer number one, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. And he quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, Perish Rabbeinu Tam. Now, remember, the rush was one of the last of the Balei HaTosfos, so he's going to be quoting primarily.
Why isn't Rabbeinu Tam commenting directly here? On
where? Who? On what? Rabbeinu Tam did write his own Sefer. It's called the Sefer HaYashar. But most of his Chidushim are found in Tosfos. We don't have a Tosfos on Talmud.
There's no Tosfos here.
No Tosfos. So, but the Rush, who was one of the last of the Balei Tosfos, so he's going to quote his, I don't know how many generations back Rabbeinu Tam goes, but, you know, his great or great-great or whatever the case is. His Ashkenazic ancestor. Upeish Rabbeinu Tam de Malad Rabbanin Hein. So Rabbeinu Tam says that the fact that Tful Yom can't go into Machane Levia, that's a Ma'ale de Rabbanin, a Chumra de Rabbanin. The Lo Gazru El She'en Yechanesh Sham Tful Yom, and the Gzeirah de Rabbanan is that a Tful Yom can't enter. Meaning, it really are two chidushim in this Rabbeinu Tam. Number one, the Mishnah Kalim is only talking on the level of the Rabbanan, not the Araisa. And two, the second chidush of Rabbeinu Tam is that the Tful Yom can't enter into the Machane Levia, but he didn't enter; he was already there. Okay, that's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, or what I would call a double chiddush.
The heavy what does that mean? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Can you translate what you just read? In hayu
the aval im hayu mibifnim in zakuk latzeis. There's no requirement for them to leave.
Oh, I see.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to skip that whole raya of Rabbeinu Tam. I see the time. Well, another time. I'll come back to it. V'od raya miperakam dechulin. Can I skip that as well? Yeah, let me skip that as well. Okay, v'ri. Okay, so now that was answer number one. So answer number one is Rabbeinu Tam's answer, which is that a Tful Yom is only prohibited from entering into the Machane Levia, but this coin is already there, so therefore, for him it's not a problem. Answer number two, he quotes the name of the Ri, again, one of the prominent Balei HaTosfos. Tire shelo gazru al hachel Lo gazu ella al hachel ve'eznas nashim hu shar etan hamishamish kenisa v'yitzi alasos harchak alatmeim shalei yakrivu shama aval kol shar machin alaviya lo gazru. The Mishnah in Kalim, if you look at it carefully, it says, where can the Tful Yom be? In Ezras Nashim. It didn't mention the entire Har HaBayis area. It says Ezras Nashim. So the Ri says, it's not a prohibition for a Tful Yom to be in the entire Har HaBayis. He can't be, or she can't be, Tful Yom could be either, he can't be at the main entrance of the Azara. Where's the main entrance of the Azara? East. The eastern gate of the Azara, the Sharni Kanar, which behind me, of course, is to the left, right? That entrance, right? That you see the semicircular
stairway
going up, and that going in now. That's the main entrance. That's where the Tful Yom can't be, meaning as a it's similar to Rabbi Natan, meaning as a safeguard, right? It's an Issa D'Rabbanan as a safeguard. You can't be at the main entrance. This particular Kohen is not at the main entrance. He's on the side, on the northern side, at the in the base of Mokad. So the Ri says for him there would be no problem. Okay.
What about his participation of the work of the day? I mean, like if he was assigned to do something, then what would you say? You say that he's unable to.
He's unable. He's, you know, he called him sick.
So and then that would be a source of embarrassment.
What if they all get
it certainly, in other words, I think the Kohanim would understand, but it would be more embarrassing for him. In other words, he can't. He literally cannot do the avodah. He can't go in, he cannot walk into the Shekhinah. Meaning, we're trying to answer up why he can't be in the Har HaBayis. And so we have a Rabbi Natan, we have a Ri. He absolutely cannot go into Machane Shekhinah. He can't go into the Azara. Give him something else to do, you're suggesting.
I'm saying that he was, in a way, going to a mikvah and coming out, so nobody would notice that he was bad.
Correct. And he wouldn't.
They would find out anyways.
Okay, at a later point in time, they would find. In other words, correct. He wouldn't come to work. But the embarrassment of having to walk out by himself in the middle of the night, that's already. In other words, we want to minimize the humiliation. You're right. It's not going to remove it totally. Okay, we're back to the Mishnah. And so now, Bavi Yeshav Lo Yitzal Chavakon Emashi Yusharim Niftachim Yotzev Holech Lo. Okay. Mishaya wrote the Litrum. Now we go to the first avoda of the day. Trumas Hadeshin. We talked about this not that long ago. Trumas Hadeshin, the removal of, not the removal, sorry, a taking one shovelful of the ashes off the Mizbeach, going down the ramp, and depositing it on the east side of the ramp. Vihinicham Sham. And you place it over there. Now, I know this doesn't sound like prestigious work. It was prestigious work. Kohanim got up early to try to get this job of the Truma Sadeshin. And there was so many Kohanim that and it was only a one-man job. So what? How would they decide? So first of all, whoever made it there were eligible that early in the morning. Plus, and then they would do a lottery. And the Mishnah describes, Mishu wrote to the Truma Sadeshin, Mashkim Betovel. So first of all, you need to tovel, right? You'll get this a lot. In order to do the avoda, you need to tovel. Even if you're a tower. Okay. Now this amuna, this appointed individual who was in charge, he was an administrator. So what time would he come? Lo kol ha'itim shavos. He was not clockwork. Meaning, he would come before sunrise, that's for sure. But varied times. He would come sometime when the rooster would crow, sometimes a little bit earlier than that, sometimes a little bit later than that, but certainly before sunrise. Now, this administrator was outside. He would knock on the door. I'm assuming we're now describing the Beis HaMokad. And they would open the door for him. Whoever told him the mikveh now, come and join the lottery. Hey, Fisu, Misha Zacha Zachabo. And whoever was Zoche, was Zoche. In order to do the first avoda, which is the Truma Sadeshin.
He was a Kohen.
Huh?
He was a Kohen, right?
I'm not sure.
But how could he run if he were a Kohen? He has to be.
In Yuma, they describe by putting out one or two fingers and then counting.
How could he go in if he wasn't a Kohen?
Into the Beis HaMokad, I mean, look, a Yisrael can go into the Azara. Typically, he didn't. Typically, it was limited to the Kohanim. All right, I'm not absolutely sure. Menahan, yeah, he said he describes it the way I did. That's exciting. Okay, it makes sense. Menahan Emile Amar Abayi, now the Gemara asks a question. Menahan Emile, where do I know this? What do I know? What? What's the Gemara's question? So the Rosh says, basically, we're asking about Shmir in general. And not just Shmir in general, but Shmir done specifically by Kohanim and Levim. So Amakra v'achonim lefnei ha-mishka kedma lefnei ha-moed mizracha moshav aronu v'anav shomerim b'shmeres ha-mikdash le'mishmeres b'nei Yisrael. So we go to Bamidbar, Paragimel. That's where we were. And we were describing the encampments around the Shekhinah. And who was to the east of the of the Mishkan? So that would be Moshe. The Pasuk Lamed Ches 38. Vachonim lefnei Mishkan Kedma lefnei Moed Mizracha Moshe the Aaron Uvanav. So it was Moshe, it was Aaron, it was Aaron's sons, Shomrim Mishmeret HaMikdash, and they would do Shmira. Okay. Back to the Gemara. So they said, meaning Amre usually is a reference to the Talmid Chachamim learning in the Beis Medrash. Ein Shimar in right, sorry, in Shimar ba'am Ashkechan. The Bai Kohanim v'Levim Shimar miu Masnitzin. The question really was, how do I know it's done both by Levim and Kohanim? And if you look back at our Mishnah says the Kohanim did the Shmira. And Levim, 21 stations, right? So 3, 21. Now let me see if I can do it correctly. 1, 7. Ratio of 1 to 7. Now, from the Pasuk, you don't get the sense that we're working in such a formula. And the Pasuk, it kind of just throws everyone together. In other words, the Pasuk says, Moshe is a Levi, Aaron of one of Aaron and his sons. Meaning, but it doesn't sound like there are distinguished and distinguishable Shmiras. So the Gemara says, Amre, so they said, Hachi Kamar, V'achonim lefnei Mishkan Kedma lefnei Ol Moed Mizracha Moshe. In other words, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to read the Pasuk by placing a break in the Pasuk. Now, I will tell you, as I'm looking at the Chumash itself, that there is a psik, there's a line, part of the trup, separating the words Moshe ve'Aaron. Okay? You know, the trup of the Torah is also part of the Mesorah, it's part of the tradition, and so it's almost like there's a comma between Moshe and Aaron. Even though it says Moshe ve'Aaron, that Vav usually links the two, but in trup, there's actually a break. No, it's an actual line. Right, Moshe v'Aaron. So, okay, so the Gemara says, so that's how you're going to read it. So, I'm sorry, Amrei hachi kamar v'achonim lefnei ha-mishka keid malef nei o'al mo'ed, mizracha Moshe, pause, v'hadar, and afterwards, Aaron uvanav shomrei mishmeret ha-mikdash. Now, Aaron v'chad mokam, uvanav v'shem mokamos. And that actually gets us to number three, because Aaron is one, and unfortunately, he only had two sons surviving. So it's Aaron. It's. I was going to say Nadav Aviu. Okay, right. Elazar v'Isamar. So that gets us to three, and that's how we translate now. In other words, that's three Kohanim, and that's how we get to the three Kohanim and the three stations mentioned in our Mishnah. Mimai midichsev achonim uksiv shomrim. So, and I know that they are stationed separately because there actually are two different verbs used in the pasuk. It says, I go back to the beginning of the pasuk. V'hachonim lifnei hamishkan kedma lifnei ol moed mizracha Moshe. Now remember, we're going to put a hard pause over there. So there, Moshe is choneh, which literally means he encamps. And then Aaron avonav shomerim. Aaron is sons of shomerim. So from here we learn out a lot of things. We learn out that Moshe, who represents the Levim, he does his own shmira. We learned that the Kohanim do also their Shmira, and because it mentions Aaron and his two sons, so therefore we have three stations for the Kohanim. Chonim lechud, v'shomim lechud. Eim akula b'chad makam lechudei. So the Gemara persists, and the Gemara says, well, maybe they're all in the same place, lo sekadacha. Ma Moshe b'chad makam lechudei, af Aaron uvanav b'chad makam lechudei. Just like Moshe was in his own distinct place, so to Aaron and his sons, meaning Aaron and his two sons are going to be in separate places as well. Three separate locations for the Kohanim. Rav Ashi Amar, Misef Dekras, Shomim, Mishmeres, Lemishmeres. And Rav Ashi, addressing the same question of how do I know they're going to be in three separate locations, so he looks at the number of times it says the words, how many forms of Shomer do you have in the Pasuk? Three times. V'aron uvanav, Shomrim, that's one. Mishmeret, that's two. Hamikdash, Limishmeret, that's three. So three separate places that the Kohanim are going to be doing Shmira in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay. Huh?
It doesn't deal with the Levim issue.
It doesn't deal with the Levim issue. Levim in camp. Right. Yeah. And also...
Moshe represents Levim.
Understand that.
Here you have three.
Right. What? And another issue...
You don't even account yet for the 21. For the
no, but it's the word Hachwanim is plural, so it's an encampment. So it's like a...
Right. Another issue to consider also is that here in the Mishkan, it describes Kedma, meaning... Where did they do Shmira? In the Torah, when describing the Mishkan, it says east. They guarded to the east. If this becomes our source for the whole mitzvah of Shmira, so then we should take all the guards and move them to the east. But that's not the case. The Kohanim, we had so far identified two stations for the Kohanim in the north, one station of the Kohanim in the south. It's an issue.
Weren't there some up top too?
Was there like guards? Well, in other words,
where they stood up top.
The Beis Anitzos and the Beis Avtinos, they were on the second floor. Okay. We're on the top of Chavav Amud Beis, Beis Avtinos, the Beis Anitzos, the Abayilu, Alios, Mamashayu, Odoma, Dahavu Gevi, Migba, Ke Alios. The Gemara has a very technical question, which is the Beis Anitzos and the Beis Avtinos, where we know the Kohanim go on a higher altitude. Is it a two-story building? Or is it just simply a building that's built the way the Rush describes it? It's like built on top of a mound. But in other words, it's not a two-story building. The Gemara says, Tashma, the Naj, Shebet Safan, Sharanitzot, Keminach Sadra, Hayah, Ve'aliyah, Benuya, Al Gaba, Shagonim, Shomri, Milamala, Ve'halavim, Milamata, Upesachaya, Lo, Lechol, period. So we quote a Mishnah later on, and the Mishnah sounds like it's describing a two-story building. Okay, simple question, straightforward answer. Beis Anitzos, the house of rays.
How would they illuminate it?
Because it was an achsadra. In other words, the first floor did not have walls all the way around it. So it was like a pavilion. So in other words, so when the sun rose in the morning, it lit up the entire house. Simply because there was no walls. Now, Minahan Emili, what's the Gemara's next question over here? It's not really clear. And the Rush suggests the following. We have now identified the Beis Anitzos as one of the stations where they would guard. Now, who got the second floor? The Kohen. Who got the first floor? The Levi. Okay, which one is a more prominent guarding position? I was going to say we could argue this point. Okay, let's assume, and it's an assumption. I'm not going to say this has to be, but let's assume that the higher station is going to be a more prominent guarding position. And so, according to the Rush, what the Gemara now wants to know is, how do I know that the main Shmira is done by the Kohanim, and the Levim are kind of like, almost like attachments to the Kohanim? Okay, that's the way the Rush understands the next give and take of the Gemara. And they will serve with you, meaning... He is there with you. You meaning the Kohanim. V'yilavu alecha v'yisharsucha ba'avodascha hakasam medaber. Ata, now with you, in other words, in your avoda. Meaning that Shmira is primarily a Kohen avoda. Right. You could have argued. You could have said that Shmira is primarily a Levi avoda, and for whatever reason, there's going to be three Kohanim that go along. No. It's primarily a Kohen avoda, and the Levi kind of get attached to the Kohanim. Atamar b'avodescha kasav medaber oino ala b'avodesam kishu amar v'nevu alech v'shamru l'chol kelav l'chol avodesam arei b'avodesam amor haman nimekayim v'yilavu alech v'yishartucha b'avodescha kasav medaber. It's talking about your avoda. Ha-ketzad kohanim shomer melamala v'levi melamata. And the way the Rush understands this is exactly. Meaning that now when you have the Beis Anitzos and this is now a building where I'm going to have both Kohen and Levi, who gets the penthouse? Who gets the upper floor? The Kohen gets it because he's in a more prominent position. A little bit further for today. Beis Amoka Kipa Uvais Gadol Hayasham Shomer Vehu Deveveis. I'm sorry. Shomer Vehu Deveveis Amoka Vreminu. Shnei Sharm Hayu Beveis Hamokad, Echad Pasuch Lechel, Echad Pasuch LaAzara. Now, the Gemara is over here bothered by a simple question. The Beis HaMokad, which is a big building, it's a building and it's an entranceway. It's like a big guardhouse. It had two doors. One opening to the outside and another door opening to the inside. Shouldn't it require two guards? Not one guard? So the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Yehuda. Bezeh shenichnasim lazara pishpish katana yulo shebo nichnasim lavalusha azara." So, and I'm sorry, the Gemara points to that there was a small side entrance where that by that way they can go and inspect the azara. So I'm Rabbi came and degabe hadade hayukame saigalei bechashomer davi lahacha v'davi lahacha. So the Gemara says very simple, because when you're in the Beis HaMokad, both doorways are facing you, one in front of you, one directly behind you. So you can place one guard right in the center over there, and he can guard both doorways. Okay. Just get to the two dots. Mukav Rovdin Shel Evdin. Now, as we pointed out in the Mishnah, the Beis HaMokad was surrounded by stones. Now, interior, like bunk beds. Stones that protruded out of the wall. So, my ninu gezarta de itzdaba. They are like cut pillars. The Salkibu Litzdaba. And they would go up on these pillars and they would lie down on these pillars. Pillars is not the right word, but they were more like steps. Slits. Omi the Gemara asked the question, you know you're not allowed to cut the stones. How do they have cut stones? The Aksiva Abayis Behiv no so Evan Shlema. In other words, the way the stones were quarried from the mountain, that's how they have to be. And you can't shape the stones.
So, there was a worm that did it.
Yeah, now I thought that there was a worm that did it as well. Now, it could very well be, the Russian didn't address this, it could very well be that the worm was only for the Bais Rishon. And by the Bais Sheni, they didn't have it, and we're describing the Bais Sheni. That's me talking. I'm Rabbi, Demetakne, Maise, Mikara, Avne, Zutrasiv, Avne, Ravavasa. So the Gemara says, and the way the Russian understands it, the Gemara basically says like this. You're allowed to cut stones, right? Who knew? You're not allowed to cut stones in the Beis HaMikdash. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, you can cut all the stones you want. The Rosh says that the prohibition is only to cut the stones in the Beis HaMikdash proper. Avnei Zuchos v'avnei Ravasa k'dechsev avnei eser amos v'avnei shmona amos. In fact, again, going back to that Pasuk in Malachim describing the stones that were actually brought to the Beis HaMikdash, different size stones. 10 amma stones, 18 amma stones. So how are the different size stones? Because you're allowed to cut them outside the Beis HaMikdash and then transport them into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. We'll stop over here. The two dots. Tomorrow we'll continue. Everyone have a good Shabbos.
Going to the tunnel tour, I mean, they're
different size stones. All right. Rabbi Hananya, again, Refu Shleima. Binyamin Zev, Ben Sharon, Ben Sharon Rivka, and Rafael Zaka Avram, Ben Yakira Avigail. B'chanan ben Akash Amaros, Akash Barach Zaka Zolfi, Chachir Ben Tor Mitzvah Shenem. Anai Chafei Saman Tzikol Yagdil Tor Aviyadir.